Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Said tonight, Lord, let the Holy Spirit come into this building. Catherine Coleman used to say, never grieve the Holy Spirit when you're in the house of God. And so tonight, she used to say, the Holy Spirit is my best friend. And I know, Lord, tonight that you are with us even until the end of the age. If it's not your wisdom that guides us, we're into any kind of foolishness. We have to all the time focus on Jesus Christ. Obey the word of life, the word of faith, the word of your power, and the covenant that we have with you through the very blood of Jesus. Tonight, thank you for being with us, Lord. You are always welcome in this place. All God's people said, amen. You may take your seats. Thank you very much, everybody. Before I start ministering what I want to minister, I wonder if they've got that image on the background for me again. Now, here you have from the book, I think it's Jonathan Smith, Jonathan Smith, that wrote the book Gulliver's Travel. Now, this man washes out on a beach. He's tired, so I understand. I never knew the book. Washes out of the beach. And then these lilybits, which are these little people that are like 10 centimeters tall, while he exhausted, falls asleep wherever he was next to the sea. You see the blue there. He falls asleep, and when he wakes up, he's all tied down. And now a whole process begins. Now, the reason why I'm showing you this image is because I see that image in many applications. My friend, who has gone on to be with the Lord, Dr. Hannes Jonker from Stellenbosch University and then AFM Theological College, where he really wanted me. I know one night he spent with me until 10 p.m. to become a pastoral psychologist with him, but I didn't feel it's the way that God's taking me. And so I left that. But he used to walk around, he says, the body of Christ is just like that. The body of Christ is sleeping. And the longer the sleep, the more pegs go into the ground. And if you see it in this perspective, just for a moment, get away from the book of Gulliver's Travels. If you just think of that as the body of Christ and asleep in the country. And while sleeping, and the church is sleeping, the devil can issue all kinds of bondage. And that's really problematic. Because so it is also in the individual life. When they sleep spiritually, they get into trouble. You have to be watchful, as the Apostle Peter says. I think it's 1 Peter 4:7 that he says, his word says, be vigilant therefore, vaxam, and watch, he says, for the end of the age has come. You must pray. Be vigilant and be watchful in prayer, for the end of the age is at hand. 2,000 years ago, a day in the sight of the Lord is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day. And so what I'm showing this for is when it comes to sleep, if this giant in this illustration lifted up one arm or could do it just like that, rip it out of the ground and come free, he could do a lot of damage to those tiny little people that were there in this whole story. That's like a children's story, but a beautiful one. It's a classic. And so ultimately there's a relationship developing between him and them, and of course the story goes on. I haven't read that. I just know Dr. Hannes always had this. He says, if the body of Christ would only wake up in this country, there are so many Christians. He said that to me many times. And we spent a lot of time together. And you know what? In the midst of it all, I think that when you talk about prayer power, do you know the vast power of the body of Christ? If that was that giant in this symbol, if it was like that giant waking up in this country unto prayer, those strings would melt off like in the days of Samson. They would mean absolutely nothing. Nothing could keep you into bondage if you are so close to God. Now, having said that, on Saturday mornings now, we've started already. I did a test run this past week. Now we're going into the actual thing this coming week, where we do live internet webcasts of the prayer meetings, 7:30 to 8:30. But in view of the elections, we will be intensifying prayer. This house is a house of prayer. We pray. We pray and we obey. This book is everything for me in my life. It guides me altogether. And so therefore, what we do is we pray, we use the word. When we pray, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. And when we come together in the church on a Saturday morning and we pray, soon we'll get the home cells doing the same thing. I'll be running a home cell, like Maud said, on Tuesday night for the first time in a long time. I can't wait for that home cell to start there and to see, you know, to meet some people and spend some time. And you pray for the people around you and you've got the time to fellowship. Now, Saturday morning, therefore, the prayer meeting, please be with us. If you can in any way make it, come here to the church and do join with the home cells. Also want to say to you, there's another point I wanted to make, didn't say this morning, I'll just say it. I discovered in the move what I thought was one, but then turned out to be two booklets, called War in the Heavens, bearing in mind the situation of South Africa and what the dynamics in all of what's happening, the political interaction and internal, international, what's happening. It's time for the giant to wake up and to pray. And I've got this course which I wrote by hand, and now I see it's nicely typed out. I got it when we moved and I thought, wow, I must present a course. This course on War in the Heavens is a brilliant piece of the compilation of very formidable scriptures on the subject, and it'll take you into victory in your personal life as well. It starts in the month of April, on the 10th of April, going on every Wednesday night, 10, 17, 24. Then we've got, of course, the end of April, then May, then again, back again on the 8th and possibly even the 15th of May. It's an open Bible school course. Anybody can come, anybody can benefit and enjoy it along with us. Can you say amen? Now, having covered all of that, I now get down to what we spoke about this morning. We spoke about, and I just want to take the fundamental scripture where Jesus is, of course, saying these words. This cup is Bereshit Chadashah, the new covenant in my blood. And that gives you an idea, if be it even in a minuscule way, of the power of the love of God that compels us even, because the Bible says the love of God prompts us or propels us through life. And therefore, the Apostle Paul spends 1 Corinthians 13, a most beautiful chapter in the Bible, if I could speak in the tongues of men and angels, but I have not love. That factor is what pulls everything together. That caused the covenant in the blood of the Lamb. Then, as I did this, I read this one too, and they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And that is, of course, in the book of Revelation 12 and verse number 11. Now, tonight we go to Ephesians 5:22. I started speaking, and there was a bridge over in my research. In the course of the week, I realized that the one thing, when you talk about a covenant with God, to do what Jesus did, he used circumstances in the world that then was at his time, like the sower that went out to sow, all those parables are things that people were familiar with. He used that to illustrate a point of what is a covenant. And a covenant is the highest treaty that can exist between men and women in marriage. And also, of course, you can do covenants between nations. They have covenants, what you call a covenant. God says, I will annul your covenant with death. That's a dangerous one. When nations do the wrong thing, he says, I'll take care of that situation. I will annul the covenant with death. And so, when you talk about a covenant, I thought, well, okay, what we know is marriage. What we also know is Ephesians 5 and 22. Which I'm going to be reading in one moment. But moreover, I had another scripture which I wanted to read where Paul, if you take Romans, the book of Romans 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, if you're going to 7, then you find that talking about the married woman. For a woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as you live, but if the husband dies, this is in Romans 7, and I'll just pick it up in the second verse. And then, so when he dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. And if her husband dies, she's free from that law, so that she's no adulteress, though she has married another man. Now, application. Therefore, my brethren, this you must catch. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ. How many of you are members of the body of Christ tonight in this place? Right? Listen up on this one. You've become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. When the husband and the wife gets together in holy matrimony, as we practice it in the church with no compromise, the man and his wife comes before you, and as marriage officers, we conduct the holy matrimony ceremony. Here's a little booklet on that subject. I translated that in Afrikaans too. It's just got to find that where it is, and I haven't used it for a long time. But there is the ceremony that takes place in marriage. It's called holy matrimony. Two people get married, and they stand before God, and these two people make a vow to each other. And then afterwards, just like that, that thing is over, and we sit with calamity upon calamity in the churches all over the planet. So then he says, yes, you become dead to the law through the body of Christ, because when Christ was crucified, I died with him, Romans chapter number 6. And then, of course, in the book of Philippians 2:20, it says, and there's some more scriptures I can go to that, but it says, I've been crucified with Christ. I live no more, but Christ lives in me. So I have died, and now I'm buried together through baptism into death, Romans chapter number 6, that just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should live. Romans 7, we should serve him now in the newness of the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit, not by the lust of the flesh or by the flesh, but all the time focusing on God. What does the Holy Spirit say? And the Holy Spirit will never, the Spirit and the Word agrees, will never violate the Word. If it wasn't for this Word, the world would go completely skewed, because the church is the salt of the earth. And here it says, you married to another, even him who was raised from the dead. Then we get to marriage again when we talk about Christ and the church. In this passage here, in Ephesians 5:22, in verse 32, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he says, this concerning Christ and the church, concerning you and your marriage, if you're married then, is a great mystery. But this mystery here, this mysterion, something that's not obvious to the person who has not got the Holy Spirit upon him. Okay? This is a great mystery, not just a small one. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. And he's talking about the marriage with the Lamb of God. And he compares now marriages. And this is the covenant. So that when we get married, there are certain things. I often think, I really, 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 believe me, really think, that people don't understand a covenant, and that's why so many things go wrong. They don't understand a marriage covenant. When these two become one, the man will leave his father and his mother. They shall cling to one another. And the Bible says, and they shall be one in the sight of God. God also said to the man and his wife, he said, which is Eve, he said, be fruitful and multiply. The ability to have children comes with a blessing of God on holy matrimony. And so when you have that holy matrimony, holy man, holy woman get married to each other, when both of them, particularly if they both can be believers, that's wonderful. And they believe God, they get married, and the moment they married, they become one in the sight of God. The ratification of the marriage ceremony takes place, and then life begins. And you have two people that can operate as one person in the sight of God. These two shall become one. In God's eyes, it's one person. So that's why I speak, and I mentioned this morning, particularly I was talking to the church leaders. Well, I was thinking there, those church leaders, even in New Zealand, said, where's your wives? Vars jylle vrouwens? Why are you going one way and she's going another way? Vars jylle vrouwens? Now, let me say this to you. It says here in Ephesians 5:22 concerning Christ and the church and wives. Now, there are, and I brought this with me because this is the Dake Bible, Dake's Bible, and this is the New King James Version of the Dake's Bible, which is quite a nice Bible to run around with and to just see what Dakes had to say about this. And he talks about the commandments of God concerning marriage and commandments for Christians and so on and so forth, where he talks about that. There are four commandments to women, but there are eight commandments to men. And you find those commandments right here in this particular passage of Scripture. We go to Ephesians 5:22. All right? There are four, says Day, commandments to wives and eight for husbands. I will read that as a summary afterwards. I just thought it was pretty good when I saw that. And when I saw it, it lodged in my mind. And this picture is in my mind. That's why I went back to it. Now, wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Let's talk about that for a moment. Husband follows his wife. A husband follows his wife. And his wife follows the husband. If she submits, that means in that word submit, literally it's a Greek word hupotasso, like hupopotamos, which is under the river, which is a hippopotamus, which is a beast that lives hupo under the potamus, the water of a river. And then when it says here, you have to arrange your life under, from the Mounds Greek Dictionary, perhaps the most influential Greek scholar on the planet right now, for sure, Professor Mounds. And he says here to place or arrange under, to be subordinate, to bring under the influence of, subordinated, to be brought under a state of influence. I'm reading straight from his dictionary. To submit oneself, to render obedience, and to be submissive. Wives, submit to your own husbands. If a wife submits to a husband, I always say, Maud also say, if a husband is ungodly, if a husband is a chocha, you know, that's a different story altogether, because some of them, we've had some in the church these last how many years now, we've had extreme cases, I tell you. And if the husband is a godly man, there are two things: accountability and responsibility. If the man is accountable to his wife for what he's doing in his part and his contribution to that marriage, and responsible. For example, if I am I cannot say I have authority, spiritual authority, if I don't act responsibly. If you don't commit yourself in, even at the workplace, a person can be promoted if he's a very responsible person. He shows up, he's faithful, he's regular, he's wise. So accountability and responsibility brings the husband to that place of respect. When he brings, I'm a breadwinner. I've been a breadwinner from the moment I got married. I'm a breadwinner. So my wife from the beginning didn't have to work. But, you know, in the early years after the children were big enough, I said to her, join me on the Bible school. And she came in and she helped. She even started teaching because she's a specialist on the Old Covenant and the history of Israel. She taught that for many, many years. Now, we studied that at university, but the best I've ever heard was actually Maud on the Old Covenant. She teaches that like a song. And she would teach and I would be on the other side. We both teach, but we grew together in the love of God. Now, let me say something here. And there is a word when it talks about as unto the Lord. Now, we need to understand that the keynote, the keynote in marriage is this. It is what you call agape. Agape is the God kind of love. Okay, let me say this again. You have eros, which is sexuality. You have storge. I love my dog, cat, dogs, pets, whatever. It's an affection that I have for my animals or my pets and things. That's storge. Then you have phileo, like the church of Philadelphos, the Philadelphian church. That is the love of the brethren. We get together on a Tuesday night, we have a home cell, and you know, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to come together. Here we are all in a circle, we sing a song, we pray, we have a wonderful time, the love of the brethren. You love to see the brethren that you are, you know, that form your home cell, and you have a fellowship with them, and they assist one another, there's interaction, prayer for one another, a wonderful thing. So you have the brethren there, and that is called phileo. They phileo. That's what Jesus said, Peter, do you agape me? Some say agape. And dit klink heeltemal reg vir my, glad nie. Because if you look at the emphasis in the Greek, okay, never mind. If you take the word agape, now I'm making that mistake. You take the word agape. What does it describe when you talk about love, and particularly in the marriage, which is a commandment to both men and women to love one another, even as I have loved you, but very much so within the marriage. Love, the agape, the godly love, is totally sacrificial. Remember Christ so loved the world that he gave, the heavenly bridegroom gave himself for us. He sacrificed with his blood on the cross so that he can bring about a major change in our lives and represent unto himself a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle. And he would then get this body of Christ, which is the bride of Christ, and we've seen it now, we marry to another, even Christ the Lord, and we know here that we speak concerning Christ and the church. So he interplays these two against each other. The fundamental, the core, the heart is love. If there's anything wrong, then, you know, I was looking for a book this morning, actually not this morning, but this afternoon, and I just couldn't get the book because, as I say, we've moved, and the book is not there where I want it. It's called The Passion Killers. You know, when you get married, you have passion killers. And you know, you look at the passion killers. What are the passion killers? Do you know what's number one on the list? Money. Argumenten om geld. Money. Now, to me, that's like kind of ridiculous because more than I, you know, I just pass all the money to her. She's got all the money. I don't care if I got nothing. If I walk out here with just my jacket on, I'm fine. I'll be all right. But I will see that she is cared for. She gets it all. There is no secrets. Oh, I've got a secret stash. You know, Pastor Ntatu, I got this hide up, this bit of money here, and a back pocket and so on. So, you know, I smuggle with my money, and I go, you know, it's not buy lekker. And I tell my wife, I'm really broke now. In the meantime, I'm a big fat liar. And I'm sitting with a lot of money that could stop that marriage strife instantly. I could go on with this, talk about the passion killers of marriage. There's not areas where you hear me talk about all that time. But when I spoke about covenant this week, when I started analyzing covenant, I thought, Lord, how can I illustrate through marriage? Now I'm talking about marriage, so it's appropriate. But the number one passion killer is, of course, when you have got the stress that money can throw into a marriage covenant. The second thing is just, you know, like arguing to win the argument. Actually, no, you're wrong. I'm right and you're wrong. Nee, luister nou hierso, laat ek nou vir jou sê. Vrou, jy moet nou luister.
Ek sal nie luister vir jou nie.
I'm a poor one when it comes to playing like that, but okay, you know what I mean. Those stupid arguments are passion killers. And you know, if you think back over any argument, I'm sure you've had arguments. Maud and I have had our times together too. You know, she chases me once a month around the house with a baseball bat. I better watch out. I'll really get it. She's a dangerous one. She'll wait till I sleep and she'll go. And I'd be wide awake. All right. But I tell you what, it's not a case of winning a stupid argument about a stupid subject. When you are committed in agape, you coming and you say, this is the wife that I will have for the rest of my life. We've crossed over 50 years, more than I. We're about this year, I think about 53 years, and we're pushing for 60 years of marriage. And I will get there. I will get there. So help us God, I'll get there. But marriage works, and it's the most wonderful thing under the sun. When the two become one, when you pray, it's fireworks. One shall put 1,000 to flight, 2 10,000. So now, with bickering, you know, like the dripping of a tap, the book of Proverbs talk about. You know, just complaining, nagging, complaining, moaning, moaning. Who wants that? Now, when we talk about that, here is another thing. I would ask a straight question if you have problematics. That's my plural for a problem. You have problematics. Dr. Dennis, Dr. Malebu, and if there are any other doctors, I'll ask the same question, but they know secrets, what people come in for. What tablets are you taking? What medication are you putting, you feeding on? I did a research on that in this week, in fact. I did a research on tablets when I was busy with this. I thought, well, marriage. Now, if you have mood swings and instability, okay, then number one on the list is actually hormones, hormone tablets. You know that, Dr. Malebu? Of course, you're a doctor, you should know. Amen. Or shall I come and pray for you quickly? Yeah. But hormone imbalancing is quite a situation. And that you can carefully monitor and you can regulate, but be very careful because hormones affect mood in the case of the ladies. Tablets, addiction to tablets, that thing. And there are tablets that definitely affect you. Again, those type of tablets. And let's say, for example, antidepressants. Right, doctor? Antidepressants. They take that stuff. Like popcorn. Antidepressants, if they take antidepressants, and certain painkillers can affect mood swings badly. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Now you say, there sits another doctor, two of them next to each other over there. Am I talking the truth here tonight? You feed your face with those things, you're looking for trouble. Some of those sleeping tablets are dynamite. They're just bad. So that is the one thing. And of course, the other thing, like I've said, is the hormonal balances. You're also a specialist, you know, and your wife is one too. And it's just like it is. It's like it is. So stop feeding yourself with unnecessary tablets and all of that stuff. You feed your face, you destroy your marriage. Now come on, you might as well say amen. You're going to have to say, oh my, we have to pray for you tonight. In fact, I said I'm going to pray tonight, but then this covenant this morning, the people say, carry on tonight. I'm carrying on with this. But you don't know what's coming tonight. Now you may not leave the church now at this moment in time. All right. Are you all still with me? Give the Lord a praise offering now. Amen. I wonder how far I get. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, And also Christ is the head of the church, and he's the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Okay? So this is critical. I mean, I live a different life from most of you. My Sunday is Monday. I was saying to somebody today that on a Monday is my Sunday. I said to Maud, what do you want to do? And I don't care. The world just goes dead as far as the world's concerned. And she wants to go and look at flowers. She loves flowers. We go look at flowers. She wants to go and have a restaurant. Then she goes. If she wants to buy something, I'm not going to sit and stand around bickering because she wants a new skirt or something or a blouse or something. Do you know some husbands? So middle of pain in his sock fool. And he bears it. Da what he bears, he said, all middle. I've seen women that battle to get curtains on the wall, on the window, should I say. Because the husband now, he's now so controlling that nothing can happen anymore. She can't get her curtains. If Maud wants whatever she wants, she always asks me, no matter what she wants, she gets it immediately. She controls the money in any way. She knows how much there is. I don't know. The just shall live by faith, you know. Is that right? Well, you know, Eddie Liao used to say, you know, he goes with his wife and they walk through a shopping mall. And then she goes, she buys this and he buys this. And he says, all he does is he watches. You know, I said, watch. What do you mean watch? He says, I watch and pray. She pays, but I watch and pray. But I'll tell you what, Maud has 100% control of the financial flow of us as a marriage unit. That's how I want it, because I'm focused on this book. I couldn't care about the rest. I am not focused on that, but you can do things and get them out of the way. If you need to be on a kind of a fast, you need to talk to one of the doctors and get yourself out of that discipline of feeding your face with all sorts of things. Very important. Now, husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. That's the word agape. Total sacrificial love. Let her know that she's that important in your life, in your marriage, that you really want to give her whatever you can possibly give her. That's within your means. Perhaps you handle the finances. Maybe you're there. But if it's within your means, give your wife the assurance that you are totally sacrificial. It is that type of thing that makes a marriage stand or fail. If it drops to the other levels of love, like anything below agape, the sacrificial love, which is the love of Christ, as Christ agape the church. Okay, I've got my Greek tense right here, but okay. It's still the same word. As Christ also loved the church. Here it's spelled as, I'm reading the Greek here, agapao. So it's a little bit different there as it's applied, but it's the same word. The noun is the same. The church and gave himself for her. The husband has to give himself to his wife that he might sanctify and cleanse her with a washing of water by the word. The one thing that brought our marriage, we were married. But when we really committed to God, Maud and I, we really committed. She dived straight into the word, and so did I. And as we took the word and we were reading, and the word was having its impact, the entrance of the word brings life, light, revelation, understanding. As we read, we found that as we apply the principles of this book, and I don't argue about one sentence in this book. This book is the word of God. I love God and I have the fear of the Lord. God says you take anything out of it, you'll take your portion out of the book of life. In the book of Revelation, you hear that. That said, what the word says is what happens. We stick with the word. But he cleanses her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself. Notice the body of Christ is here seen as a her, to himself as a glorious church. That is the bride of Christ. not having a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy. That word holy is the Greek word hagios. Okay? The word hagios means to set something apart for oneself. In the case of God, He would set me apart for the calling of the ministry, with me in every inch and millimeter what's called to my side. And I kept it that way all these years. All these years. I don't go nowhere. I don't go nowhere without her. She knows that, and that's just the way it works with me. She's always there to stand by my side, always there, extra ears, extra mind power, extra hands, extra arms, extra legs, and she's got certain skills which, when you put the two together, that makes one. And in marriage, when you do that, you'll understand people. You'll understand just how powerful a marriage actually is. It is miserable to be miserable. It is wonderful to be filled with the glory of God, have a glorious marriage. How many of you know that a good marriage is a wonderful thing? How many of you agree with me on that one? Now, the just shall live by faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If you don't read this book, if you're lazy to read the book, which is the word of God, you've got problems. Because there is, in fact, I was looking at some articles of how the body of Christ is lazy to read the word of God. Hence, they don't know the word of God. And I'm telling you now, I look at these things that are happening as one word that comes to my mind. And that's the word, Dr. Victor. Am I right if I say that? That's the word which is ignorance. Have no knowledge of the book of the word of God. No knowledge. Never bothers. Never bothers. Don't increase in knowledge. Now, you know what? The problem is that people don't know what they don't know when they don't know this book. Just as simple as that. Now, so husband ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. For he who loves his wife loves himself. I like the expression, love your wife as your own body. I'm not going to stick a knife into my leg. Are you listening to me? So I would not want to stick a knife into my own body in the case of Maud, because these two are one. I believe it. That's the way the maker, the creator sees us. We're one. If we're one, then we've got to work it out. Then we submit to God and we submit to each other and we follow the leading of the book, of the holy book of God, the Bible, and we also pray in the Spirit, and then things get healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's just the way it is. There's no money to do to this. For no one's ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it. That means to raise it up. It literally means to nourish or to raise up. If I look at this, to promote health and strength of your own body, which in your case could be either the husband or the wife, depending on which partner you are. For we are members of his body. Now he's talking about the bride of Christ here, then he calls it the body. Why? Because it becomes one body, because we're married to the heavenly bridegroom. That means we're one with the Lord. We're one spirit with him. The Holy Spirit indwells us. His blood has cleansed us. His spirit is within us. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. We are living stones built up together to make a holy habitation of the Lord in the Spirit. In the last days, by the power of the Holy Spirit, do you know how powerful your prayers become if the two of you start praying together? Or have already been praying together in any event, then you will know. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. That's what we are. Reality check. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and he shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. How much do you, if you're a man, how much do you love yourself? Then have the equal love towards your wife. I keep on saying, I say to Maud all the time, she is the, after God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, on this entire planet, Maud is the most valuable person in my life. There's no question about it. That woman is my wife, and I will honor her, so help me God, even unto death. That's just like it is. I will protect her. I will protect her. Love your own wife even as yourself, and let the wife sees that she respects her husband. Now, you know, time flies because I still want to do some things here. Here, in summary of this portion of scripture, let's look at what Finnis Dake says. I just opened it this afternoon. I want to show you quickly. Here is 8 commandments to husbands. Be the head of the wife. Love your wife as Christ loves the church. As Christ loves the church. Love wife as your own body. Nourish her. Care for her, in other words, protect her. And feed her, even with the word of God, with faith speaking words over yourself and over your marriage. The devil is a liar. He always tries to bring in wedges and destroy marriages. Marriages is in a sad state on the planet. Cherish her. That means literally, it's a Greek word called talpo. That literally, if I go here, it means to impart warmth and comfort. You draw, you make her know that you are there, always warmly loving her and giving her comfort, even by your presence. Can you say amen? Are you listening to me tonight? Give the Lord a praise offering, everybody. Be joined to her as one flesh. Leave parents for wife or husband. In other words, you leave. When I left, we had all 4 parents present at our marriage, and the day we got married, we moved off to Mozambique. It's the best thing we could have done. Get away from the parents. Nobody is going to interfere in my marriage, but nobody. So we moved to Mozambique. We stayed in Mozambique, and now honeymoon can't last forever, but now we find out that it's 2 different heads, but we have got to find oneness, and God gave it to us. The foundation of our marriage was in dedicating to one another and separating. Here it also says these words, to love Christ as one loves the church now, to nourish her, to cherish her, to be joined as one flesh, leave parents for wife, and then to be joined to your wife. Then commandments for the wives, says Finnis Dake. I'm going to read this. It's just very good. Submit to husband as unto Christ. If you're a wife, submit to your husband as you would to Jesus Christ. You find the problems flying out the windows. Secondly, recognize the headship of the husband. That's just a principle of scripture. It's all over scripture. Be subject, thirdly, to your husband. Okay? And then finally, to respect him. Just give him the respect and the honor that is needed towards him. I thought I'd bring that along and then share that with you. Now, quickly, and then something happens in this place tonight. Okay? Here in the principles of marriage, I'm going to read this for you. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, it says, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due to her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. I am reading from 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except for with mutual consent for a time, that you may give yourself together to fasting and to prayer, and then come together again so that Satan does not break that marriage up, does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But this I say as a concession, not as a commandment, for I wish that all men were even as I myself. This is the Apostle Paul. He was never married, but each one has his own gift from God. And then he goes on from there. Now, the third thing. Peter, the apostle, has a portion in 1 Peter chapter number 3. I'm not going to read that right now, but I'm going to read Titus 2:3, where women are also committed and told to love their husbands. And Titus 2 verse 3 says, the older women likewise, that they should admonish the younger women to love their husbands. And again, from the ESV translation, the older woman, that they would train the younger woman to love their husbands. Train the younger woman to love their husband. I tell you, this happened in Israel. The older ladies would take care of the young woman if there's anything going on and sort them out. Just there. train the young woman to love their husband. And the Amplified Bible says here that they may encourage the young woman to tenderly love their husband and their children. Now, there is one more that I have also covered, and I'm not going to go further with that. But through all of this, we have married many people over these years. And I would like to talk to you about the passion killers. I would like to talk to you about many things. Because sometimes what we find is, I would come to, let's say, these two here, as a pastoral couple, Pastor and Tatu. And I would say, I have a problem with my marriage, and now, now, now. And he responds. And he says, da, 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 and I'm not very happy with the advice that he gave me. So I run off and get yet another counselor. And the other counselor, I'll check out if he says something that I like. And then I'll submit to that. But the problem doesn't lie with the other counselor. The problem lies with the person. The person is fluttering all over the show, this way like a butterfly, never settling down, or a moth, never settling down, going everywhere from person to person. I got a problem. And very often, you know what happens to us as ministers? Let me tell you frankly, from the early days, what I find is a woman comes in and she says, you know, my husband is worse than the black dog of the city. He is just like some, you know, if somebody said to me, did you put your rubbish in the trash can? I did that this morning. I put my husband there. And he's terrible. And I have had situations where women would come and break down their husbands because they've got a mindset of destructiveness, criticism, judgment, unforgiveness, nonsense. They look at that and they say to me, oh, my man. And then they go. Then the man comes in. I call the man. This early days of my ministry. I called the man. I said, what's on? Because those days I did everything, counseling the works. I said, what's on? And he says, sir, I want to tell you, I really have a difficult time. Let's say, for example, he would tell me that his wife is on tablets. I had one woman coming in. She took 26 Sunol tablets per day. 26. Now, she came in for an interview. The marriage was on the rocks. And then she says, it's Seiskel. But she sits there, she's on another planet. She's floating, waiting to get out the door, get another two tablets to swallow that also. 26 Sunol tablets per day. Mood swings. Trouble. Now, I've grown up in a marriage and in a home where I had three sisters. I had two daughters. And I have my wife. And I'm very much in the picture with womanhood and my mother. With womanhood. And I do know, my father said to me, you never, ever, ever touch a woman. For in the day that you touch a woman, I mean smack or something like that, abuse a woman, you die on the spot. I'm coming for you. He was a big man, my father. And I was kind of, I don't want to die young, you know, that sort of thing. I was just, okay, no. He says, you see your sisters there? Watch out. And I would be, sometimes I get very angry with him, you know. And, but my father's words stuck. You don't hurt women. Because the Bible calls it in the book of Peter. I've actually quoted the book of Peter, where Peter is talking. And I'll just give you the chapter again for you to have. It's 1 Peter chapter 3. It's Abraham and Sarah, that whole relationship there. And then he talks about her adornment. The woman's adornment should not be external but internal. Let it be the hidden man of the heart. The beauty of the hidden person that is of the heart. That is what is acceptable in the sight of God, your Savior. And Peter's talking then in that chapter there in 1 Peter chapter number 3. So it is very important to understand that marriage is a two-way street. That marriage, people stand in front of the, we say we've gathered here together to join in holy matrimony. This couple by the name of, here's the marriage ceremony book. And then they stand there and say to the woman, with this ring I thee wed. And all this nice, all the people, cameras are going off. But it didn't come from the heart. Because at that moment they don't really quite understand what they're busy doing. They are entering into a covenant, ratified and established. It is die huwelijkse instelling van God. Holy matrimony is holy matrimony. In the modern world, they marry a pole now. You can marry anything you want to. I mean, you know, it's one thing to be stupid, but you're so stupid that you don't realize that you're stupid, then you're really stupid. Did you get that one? Give Jesus a praise of it, will you? Amen. Amen. So now, how many of you in this place are actually married? Let me see your hands right now. Raise your hands. If you didn't raise your hand, you're one of those people that got problems. Raise your hands if you're married. Right. And if you're married, then I want you, everybody in this place, even Pastor George tonight. Don't worry, George. You're innocent. You and Gussie, very innocent. Just look at her. She could nothing. There's no mistakes there. Yes, you see, you see. I'm just trying to boost your shares again, you know. But everybody in this place who is married, will you stand up for me, please? Some of you are really battling with your situation, and some of you are really alone in your struggle. But here's the good news. You are in church, and the word of the Lord comes to you. Even if you're standing alone, maybe your wife is looking after the children, doesn't matter now. I want every married couple, if you can, if you're a couple, walk together, stay together, move forward. Let me pray for you here. Come forward. Let me bless your marriage. Stap heel vorentoe, maak plek vir die mense agter julle. Just there might be people behind you. I wish I could put far more meat into this, because, like I always say, you ride a horse called experience. I ride a horse called experience. And then somebody said to me, you know what? And that experience is not for sale. You've got to really gain it through the years. You look at these people, how valuable they are. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Look at these people. Some of them are alone for whatever the reason. Maybe you, while your wife's looking after the children or the family, or she just couldn't come tonight for whatever the reason. Maybe she's not well. Does not really matter. But when I pray now, when I bless you, I want you to see yourself. I want you to see yourself as your marriage partner is with you. If you're a married couple, you may take hands. That's quite fine. And I'm going to read you from the Bible one of the very important, in my opinion, I've read this one in marriage after marriage after marriage. It's in Deuteronomy, and it is in chapter number 28. And there's the blessing of God. Now, I will bring all of you to remembrance that you once stood in front of the pulpit to be joined in holy matrimony. You are one. You're not two. In the sight of God, your maker, you're one. When you pray together, you will chase the devil right out the front door. Out the, is that right, sir? Right. So I want to say to you today, God wants all of you to have a happy, prosperous, and glorious marriage. Now, I have this here as a booklet, which I translate in Afrikaans, but now, we have questions we ask when we marry people. I'm just going to run you through it, make a little summary. That's it. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Normally, both of the couple say, yes, we have. And have you accepted, upon the profession of your faith, have you accepted the fact that you have received also the Holy Spirit of God? Now, you know, faith comes by love, and it's the love of God. Do you know what? Romans 5 and 6, Galatians 5, 6, Romans 5, 5 says the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 6 says the love of God prompts us. Faith works, is energized by agape. You get beyond the flesh and you get into the Spirit with these things. Then we have the witnesses. Then we have the congregation sitting out there as witnesses to the ceremony of the holy marriage. You've all gone through that. Then the profession of your vows. I remind you that you said these words. I do take your husband, your wife, as my wife in this case, as my own flesh from now on, to love her even as Christ loves the church. See? To protect her and to care for her for the rest of your lives. This question is to the groom. And then again, the groom says, according to the word of God, I leave my father and my mother and I join myself to you. This is vital and critical for a non-interfered with marriage. If you have that thing and your marriage is, you allow people. I tell you what, I get scary situations. I ride a horse called experience in scary situations where people speak without knowledge of the word nor the spirit. They begin to talk nonsense and they can destroy a marriage. So watch out to whom you open your ears. I leave my father and my mother and I join myself to you to be husband to you. From this moment, we shall, and forward from here, we shall be one. That's what the Creator says in the Word. To the bride, I take so-and-so as my husband, submitting, you say, to, let's say, Jenny or whatever the name. Do you take so-and-so as your husband, submitting yourself to him as unto the Lord? Submit yourself as unto the Lord. If I ask you that, Elaine, do you say yes to that? If I ask Lydia, would she say yes to that? If I ask you, Yanni, Naomi, would you say yes to that? It's like, it's an automatic thing. It says, submit yourself as unto the Lord, showing reverence. We had that scripture there from Dakes. To him as the head of this union for the rest of your lives, that he may lead you, that he may care for you, that he may guide you, that together you can pray together, that you can be blessed. Tonight I want to break every curse on every marriage in this place, I'm telling you. And she says, I do. How many of you say I do? Just raise a hand. Okay. Then turn to him, and then of course they do so. You don't have to do it now. Make this profession of your faith. I, according to the word of God, submit myself to you to be a wife for you. From this moment forward, we shall be one. And they then become united. And then comes the ring. Can we have the bride's ring? And then of course the bridegroom's ring and the profession that now I declare these two as married in the Lord. By which time I serve them with communion. Proper communion cup and the whole thing. I do a proper communion. Very often I take two candles. They light the two candles. There's one in the middle that's not burning. We take it to one candle, kill the flame on those two. Now one candle is burning. That's now us. We're now one. One flame before God. When we pray, the flame burns bright. Can you say amen? You understand what I'm saying to you? All right, this is therapy to everybody in this place. And so in now comes the blessing, and this blessing I always use with every marriage. If I get them to confess what they confess, I say, now take this here for yourself. And you could take this from several translations. It's Deuteronomy 28 from 1 to 14. It's all the blessings. If you indeed obey the word of the Lord to keep his commandments, then these blessings shall come upon you and the word is overtake you. If you have a car on the highway overtaking you, now the car that was behind is a blessing, and the car passes you and you've got the blessing on the road ahead of your life. So it's like overtake you. These blessings shall overtake you. So let me read it to you. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high. God will promote you. You will succeed. You will succeed in life. Listen to me tonight on this thing. When you really do this commitment, he will set you on high. The two of us have become one. We go places together. We do things together. We pray together. We visit together. Wherever we go together. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Where is the city where you dwell? And blessed shall you be in the country. In which country do you reside in? Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. Can you say amen to that one? I know tonight in this place there are people believing God for children. And I'm saying tonight to you, all things are possible. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith takes the realities of the unseen world and takes hold of it and pulls it into manifestation in the world of reality. I prayed, I saw that, I prayed for it, I took hold of it, and by faith I pulled it down, and God working with me, because I'm in relationship with Him, into the natural manifestation. In this case, we talk about children or anything else that you pray for. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, which is your work, wherever you work, and the increase of your herds, your funds and your finances, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Okay, we know this has changed through the centuries up to now. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl, like they're in the kitchen. You will be blessed in your kitchen. Can you say amen? Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. In the morning when I go out the door, I'm blessed. If I wake up, I haven't got a reason under the sun to be complaining. Because thank you, Lord, for the breath of life, another day. Thank you that you've given us health and healing and life abundantly. We shall be victorious in the Beloved. We are blessed of God. We are overcomers of all evil. Can you say amen? And blessed shall you be when you go out. And the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. Amen. You have to deal with difficult situations at the workplace. Ek was ook daar gewees in die wêreldstelsel. I tell you, some of those people, hulle is lekker skeef hierbo. Jy moet, so in Afrikaans sê, jy moet hare op jou tande groei. Grow hair on your teeth, in other words. With some people, the Here of Yetam. Hallelujah. But the Lord will cause your enemies to rise up against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come against you from one way, but they're going to flee from you seven ways. When your prayer power, your joint prayer power is released, that's when it happens in the spiritual. You're bringing in the blessing into your life. The Lord will command the blessing in your storehouses, wherever you have, in your bank account, whatever it is, and to all that which you set your hand upon. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people, as a holy couple to Himself, just as He has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord and you walk in His way, even the ways of the Almighty God. Then all the people around you shall see that you're called by the name of the Lord, and they shall even be afraid of you. Do you know that? I tell you, that's a fact. I've experienced this. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods. Seek first the kingdom of God, people. Seek first the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? In the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you, the Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens. Bless you in your house, right where you are standing right now, as a couple, all of you in this place. And it says, it'll give rain to your land. He, the Lord, will give rain to your land in its season. Bless you in the work of your hand. You shall lend to many, but you shall not have to borrow. Might as well say amen. Maud's always got room to give. She's always giving to somebody. From grandchildren to, she's always giving. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. Die kop en nie die stert nie. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and be careful to observe them, then you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to do right and to turn away from what is right, to the left or to the right, from the ways of the Lord. If I read that again there, to the right or to the left, to go after any other gods, to serve anything else except God Almighty. Let the Lord, before I pray for you, be the one that blesses your marriage in new dimension after new dimension. Can you say amen? May God Almighty drive the devil right out of your home and everything that you possess and give you peace. If you do these things that the word of the Lord commands you, the Bible says, the people of unbelief, they shall not enter into my rest. Therefore, I've sworn in the book of Hebrews chapter number 2 to that evil generation, they shall not enter into my rest, because the word did not profit them by mixing it with faith. So once you mix the word with faith and the two of you pray together, you're going to be blessed and you're going to prosper and you're going to be in health. And so tonight, I want everybody at the back to reach your hand forward to these people. Stickulon 8, these people in the front. As a couple, keep holding hands. If you're alone standing, that's fine. Then in the other hand that's loose, raise your hands to the Lord. Yes, Lord, indeed, I'm a marriage officer. And indeed, we've seen people enter into holy matrimony. The keynote of marriage, the keynote of marriage is agape, unselfish, sacrificial love, so that Christ loved the church, so that we would love each other in the same way, being totally sacrificial, always lending a helping hand in either way, to appreciate and to respect each other, to love one another, to take the road. I therefore pray your blessing upon all in this place tonight, that standing in front of the pulpit as a marriage officer, I confirm their marriages. It shall be a success. It shall prosper. There shall be fruitfulness in the midst of you. You shall prosper. You will be in health. God will take care of you. Never worry. The Lord will be with you all the days of your life. Father, I now pray against any curse, words, destructive words spoken against any of these marriages. I break those curses and bind Satan in the name of Jesus, that these people might be one as the scriptures declare. And I bless them in their marriage in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All God's people said, amen. Well, if you're holding your wife's hand, give her a squeeze on the hand, and then you may take a seat. And just remember now tonight that you love her, she loves you, and with that, you are full of brand new love for one another. And understand, there was a moment that you stood with your best dress and the best suit in front in the church, and God brought you into holy matrimony. Respect that always and love one another. Would you all stand? We're almost 8 o'clock. I'm going to close the service. Then next week, I can pray for all the sick people and everything else that we need to pray for. Heavenly Father, I now bless your people in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you and be gracious to you. Grant you eternal salvation and peace in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All God's people said, amen.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.